educating the masses with God's Word, Truth, and Facts. Wade Through the Swamp with Rick on For God and Country.
You just heard For God and Country with Rick Lawson. Stay tuned, more to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For God and Country. Today we're going to talk about what's in the news. George Soros. Who is George Soros? Why does it matter? Well, George Soros was born in Hungary, 1930. He's American, Hungarian, dual citizenship. He's a billionaire. And for some reason, he wants to destroy America. He's given billions of dollars to left-wing candidates for all different, from president on down. Now it seems he's sunk his teeth into our local attorneys general. Looks like he's at it again. Billions of dollars. According to Matt Palumbo's piece, it looks like Soros has given another $200,000 to a far-left prosecutor in Virginia. That makes like seven or eight. Not sure exactly. I'll do a little more homework for that. I know St. Louis, Kim Fox in Chicago. There's quite a few, none of which are prosecuting criminals at all. But, you know, what can we do? We have to get that dirty money out of government, though. According to the piece by Matt Palumbo, looks like Soros' cash infuse has slipped under the radar, of course, because no one man should be able to give that much money to government. $157,000 to his justice, or from his justice and public safety PAC. $41,500 from his democracy PAC to remain Fetchy, a state and federal prosecutor who won a three-way Democratic primary on June 8th. He's now the only candidate on the ballot. Of course he has, because he paid everybody off. Fetchy favors tax lax enforcement and views crime as a symptom of structural racism. Who knew? Isn't that what all lefties have, though? Leftists are all about crime. It's all racist. Everything's racist. Looks like he supports decriminalizing and legalizing marijuana possession. Abolish cash bail. Abolishing jury by trial. And making the system honor the principle Black Lives Matters. Another terrorist group. So why are we allowing all this money into our government? I don't understand this. This is ridiculous. That kind of money should, it just shouldn't be. And anything, any donations to any candidate should be up to scrutiny. There should be limitations on any amount of money. If Donald Trump spent $1 billion to get somebody voted into office, he'd be impeached again. Because that's what we're all about. This guy's he's definitely a snake. He may be good with money, but I think we need to investigate him, because apparently he is also funding Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots as well, for the insurrection that they pulled all summer long. Were any of them arrested or prosecuted? No, not at all. But that guy, somehow he's still walking the street. I don't understand that at all, but what can we do? We got to get out there. We may not have the money, but we got the manpower. We got to get into these states. I personally don't think the government needs to be all up in our business. I guess I'm kind of a libertarian in that, right? I feel like, you know, we should be able to just live and enjoy our lives. Anyways, back to Bongino. It's a great dude right there. You know, he lives by the premise that you make your own bed, you know. I don't mean make your bed before you leave the house, because why make it? You're just getting right back into it. But making your bed, that basically means start small. Start with the podcast, informing the masses. You know, get to your local school boards. Get involved with, you know, supporting candidates. You know, you need to know the phone numbers of your governors, your senators, your House representative members, both state and federal. You know, we got to stay on top of these people. You know, I've been lobbying like crazy over these gun bills. Thank God I'm in Missouri, and now we have this new HB 85 that just passed. And I'm sure we'll be waiting on lawsuits from the Supreme, all the way up to the Supreme Court over it. But that basically nullifies gun laws, federal gun laws in the state of Missouri. Not really sure of all the details. Got to talk to some lawyers and, you know, read into the law a little better. I'll definitely bring that into later episodes. We'll talk more about that particular bill. But we all got to do something. We can't just sit around and let all this stuff happen. It's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. We're losing our country, people. We need to get up and fight back. We got to get up and fight back. That's all there is to it. You know, y'all need to, you know, get out there and, you know, I don't care if it's 5, 10, 15 bucks, whatever we got to do. You know, if we got to, we need to try to give, you know, help raise money for the ones out there actually doing their job. I know they say we're not supposed to talk about the election, but I don't really care. I'm my own boss here. I don't really care. Now, Georgia has started their own investigation into the 2020 election, like Arizona. Like a few other states are working on it. And why is there constantly stuff coming up? According to this Just the News piece, what are they going to do, fire me? Georgia investigators' notes reveal massive election integrity problems in Atlanta, which is... It's primarily left-leaning. It's always the left. Always the left-leaning places that have the problems. Why is that? Why is it polling areas? They seem to be okay. Why is it that we can do it but they can't? I don't understand that. It's confusing to me. Maybe it's because they don't want to. Maybe they hire the right people. You know, they got the right people for the right jobs. That means double counting. That means dead people voting. Zombies voting. Heck, the next zombie apocalypse might be in the 2024 election. Who knows? Red states and red sites double counting, insecure storage, massive chain of custody problems, and workers. It looks like a 29-page memo obtained by Just the News threatened to F stuff up. Boy, that's great, isn't it? In a nationally televised interview in January, Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger rattled off an impressive list of measures in his state used to ensure the November election was accurate. We had safe, fair, honest elections, he said. He declared to 60 Minutes. That rosy assessment, however, marked an ugly truth inside his agency's own files. A contractor handpicked to monitor election counting in Fulton County wrote a 29-page memo back in November outlining a massive election integrity failures, mismanagement he witnessed in the Atlanta election centers. The bombshell report, constructed like a minute-by-minute diary, cited a litany of high-risk problems, such as double counting of votes, insecure storage of ballots, possible violations of voter privacy, mysterious removal of election materials at a vote collection warehouse. That's funny. Why? I don't understand. If we can have casinos with multiple millions of dollars in cash, we got 1,000 cameras. Why can't we have cameras on these? Suspicious movement of too many ballots on election day. This seems like a massive chain of custody problems, the report says. Contractor Carter Jones warned the memo delivered by his firm, Seven Hill Strategies, to Raffensperger's office shortly after the election. County's Central Absentee Scanning Center at Atlanta State Farm Arena in Rolling bins, 2,000 at a time. Wow, that's a lot of votes. But isn't that the place that they had the windows blocked out so nobody could see in? Isn't that the place where they had suitcases full of ballots under the tables? And funny enough, once all of the poll watchers left, after they had a massive water leak of a toilet overflowing in the bathroom, urinal even, no less, then they started counting votes. They're not supposed to count votes without election integrity watchers, without poll watchers. That glaring notation was written around 4 p.m. on election day when Jones observes absentee ballots arriving in the... I think that's illegal, but I guess that's only in red states where laws have to be followed. Back to the report, it says, "It's my understanding that the ballots are supposed to be moved in numbered sealed boxes to protect them," he wrote, noting these ballots were not. He also feared the flow of absentee ballots seemed too voluminous, too many ballots coming in for secure black ballot boxes, he observed. You can read the full report on the Just the News site if you want to and delve more into it. I just don't understand this. How is it 7 or 8 states, mostly purple and blue states, they have all these election issues, but it seems like we can get it right in red states. Florida, one of the biggest in the country. I mean, they got many, many, many counties, and somehow Ron DeSantis, somehow he can do it. Why is it we can do it in Missouri? Why is it Parsons? Why can Mike Parsons do a good job? Why Governor Kemp in Texas? Why can we do this in other states? Why can't we do it you know, in every state. I mean, all we have to, we need to purge about the voter rolls, you know, immediately. They need to be cleared yearly. You should have to re-register to vote every year. That's, I mean, I'm just, that just should be minimum. ID, if I got to have an ID to drive, to work, you know, to buy a lottery ticket, to buy a beer, to get into a bar, you should have to have an ID to vote. It's the most important thing a human being can do in this country. And we should not, that just shouldn't even be a thing. Everybody can get an ID. It's not hard to get an ID. If you try to say it's racist, well, we all know how racist the left really is. So how about that Trump, huh? Donald Trump. It's a pretty amazing guy. To tell you the truth, I really didn't like him personally until I hired him to be president. Man, he did a fantastic job. He kept his promises. He did what needed to be done, secured the border, took care of unemployment. Wasn't it Obama that said certain jobs, are you going to do wave a magic wand to get certain jobs back in this country? Looks like Trump's got the magic wand. Well, looks like he, Mr. Trump, is endorsing Lisa Murkowski's GOP challenger, Kelly Tishbica. I apologize for butchering your name. I'm sure you'll do fantastic. With Mr. Trump's backing, you could do just about anything. Looks like from the piece, former President Donald Trump endorsed Republican Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski's 2022 primary challenger, Kelly Tishbica, Friday. Again, I apologize for the name. Looks like Mr. Trump released a statement from the Save America PAC, which the former president slammed Murkowski, and said Tibet Tishba can beat her in a primary, giving her his full endorsement. Lisa Murkowski is bad for Alaska, he wrote. To confirm Biden's interior secretary was to vote to kill a long sought for and approved ANWR. And Alaska jobs. Murkowski has to go, he says. Kelly Tishba is the candidate who can beat Murkowski. She will. Kelly is a fighter who stands for Alaska values and America first. No, we need that. We need America first. I wonder how many of these current senators, representatives, I wonder how many of them can read the Constitution or ever has read the Constitution. Back to the piece, says she is MAGA all the way, with pro-energy, strong on the border, tough on crime, totally supports our military and our great vets. Kelly is a powerful supporter of the Second Amendment and jobs. I look forward to campaigning in Alaska for Kelly. She has my complete and total endorsement, Trump added. I'll do a little more research looking into Miss Kelly, and if she's definitely seems like the woman for the job, we will you'll get more information about her in incoming shows. But yeah, he's right. Murkowski's got to go. She's definitely not anti-America. They all got to go. She's not who we need. We don't need anyone like that in our Senate. Anybody who's, that's all there is to it. We just need to get rid of them all. They need to be primaried. They need to be gone. We can do so much better. Democrats, it's like they're Democrats in, sorry about that. It's like some of these Republicans are Democrats at heart. You know, rhinos is in name only. We can't have that. You got to be solid, or you're getting primaried. That's all there is to it. It looks like more election controversy in Arizona, according to the Epoch Times piece. It looks like Maricopa County audit report expected in August. Can't wait for that. The piece reads, final report for the 2020 election audit taking place in Arizona's largest county is not expected to be out until August, an official involved with the work says. By the Arizona Senate, auditors are working on evaluating ballots after finishing their ballot recount. Looks like they have less than 100 Braille ballots. Led by Cyber Ninjas, which was hired by the Arizona State Senate. The ballot evaluation is supposed to wrap up near the end of June. The Senate is slated to vacate the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, where the audit is taking place, by July 1st. But there will be a few weeks worth of additional work after that, Ken Bennett, former Arizona Republican Secretary of State, told the Epoch Times. He says, quote, we got to remember We got the remainder of June to do what we're doing here in the Coliseum. Then there's a few weeks probably to work on checking envelopes, signatures. Again, very, very important. We need signatures. And no matter, I mean, that's all there is to it. There needs to be an ID. There needs to be a signature. Here in Missouri, they scrutinize that stuff. You know, I wasn't even allowed to wear my Trump hat into the voting booth. You know, there should be no electioneering. There definitely shouldn't be dead people voting. Cyber Ninjas, which has not returned a request for comment, said in a document sent to the Senate that an estimated audit would take approximately 35 days, followed by a 5-day period to produce a final report. Auditors were set to start the job on the 34th day of work on Friday. The audit started April 23, but teams had to leave the Coliseum for approximately 9 days in May as school graduations took place, and resumed work on May 24th. Yeah, we got to have election integrity. That's all there is to it. Those ballots need to be secured. They need to be carried in armored cars, you know, with armed guards with them. There needs to be somebody from both sides in every time, every count, no matter what. You know, we just need free and fair elections. You know, nobody would be worried if everybody had faith in this election. You know, that they're causing a lot of problems. They're causing way too many problems in these elections just because they don't want to be transparent. They don't want to be legit. You know, if the way I see it is, if I want you to believe we're 100% straight in what we're doing, then I'm going to open up, you know, I'm going to let you watch. I'm going to let you count them as many times as you want to count them. It shouldn't matter. Back to the piece. It looks like it's not clear how much extra funding will be needed due to the audit running over the original projected time period. Private money is helping the audit as well, though. Looks like they're raising money from the public. Arizona lawmakers are waiting for the results of the audit to inform the future election-related bills. That's definitely a good idea. We need this election integrity bills all over the country. It'll be our duty to act in whatever way is appropriate, states Senator Wendy Rogers, a Republican, told the Epoch Times this week. People involved in the audit are not sure where the work in July will take place. According to Bennett, a large building like the Coliseum is not needed for the type of work being planned. Randy Pullen, a former Arizona Republican Party chairman who was acting as a spokesman for the audit, told reporters at the Coliseum that data from the election machines will be analyzed in Washington at the office of Cypher, a subcontractor working on the audit. Some data will be reviewed at the Cyber Ninjas offices in Florida. One potential expansion of the audits is still being considered. The Arizona Senate is mulling whether to hire a California nonprofit called Citizens Oversight to run computer retabulation of ballots images. That count would be compared with the numbers the audit teams come up with for the original tabulation. I agree completely. Why can't these machines, you put it in, it snaps a picture front and back. Every single ballot goes in a machine. Every single ballot gets a picture. If you got 9 million votes, you should have 9 million ballots and 9 million pictures of that ballot front and back. It's real easy. If there's an issue, you just go back and look. I can't really understand how this can be so difficult for these people to understand. I'm not the brightest tool in the shed. I don't even have a college degree, but I even know better than that. I mean, it's beyond ridiculous what these guys are doing. They don't want ballots integrity, that, you know, they want ballot harvesters. You can't have ballot harvesters. That's ridiculous. You can't trust. You just can't trust these people. So how about that January 6th? Anybody know anything that happened on that day? Pretty boring Tuesday, right? Everybody knows what happened on January 6th. It's ridiculous. A riot got out of hand. A rally got out of hand. There were some people that did some pretty stupid stuff. Now these guys are in jail. They're in jail without bond. They're being treated terribly. They're not being allowed to see their lawyers, talk to their families. This shouldn't happen in this country. We still have rights. It looks like, according to America's News today, And Tucker Carlson blew it out of the water the last few days on his show. Man, it really looks like the FBI was in right in the middle of this thing. I can't fathom it. I mean, why would there be FBI informants in the middle of a riot? I mean, you know, were they inciting the riot themselves? Were they trying to convince people to go in and steal stuff or break stuff or, you know, assault people? What happened on the 6th was absolutely ridiculous. It was unbelievable. You know, we cannot stand for violence. No American conservative endorses violence at all. But we also don't endorse lies. You know, some people went over there, they got out of hand, they went into a building that was paid for by their taxes. Some cops even allowed them to come in, they let them in. You know, they let them take pictures, selfies, that sort of thing. It's ridiculous. You know, and they're sitting, you know, looking at 25, 30 years in prison for trespassing. That's ridiculous. According to the piece, American News, by Tucker Carlson, "We won't shut up and we shouldn't shut up. Tucker Carlson wants answers on the FBI's potential involvement in the Capitol riot." Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I want to know what other, how many FBI were involved in the Black Lives Matter rallies all summer long, the terrorist group that they are, and Antifa, whatever you want to call them. They're today's brown shirts. They're Nazi brown shirts is what they are. Somebody's paying, probably George Soros, I'd be willing to bet. You know, somebody's putting bricks for these Molotov cocktails for these riots to happen. They're giving them riot shields and helmets, umbrellas, laser beams to shine in the eyes of cops. It's ridiculous. You know, peaceful protests, peaceful. We're given the right for redress of grievances by the First Amendment. Riots are not peaceful. Riots should not happen. Mr. Trump said several times that day, we are going to peacefully march to the Capitol and let our voices be heard. Acting a fool, all that did was screw it up. Was that planned? Was the plan to start a big riot, act a fool, so that way they could hurry up and get the votes done or get the debate done? Because, you know, maybe they didn't want the truth to come out. According to the piece, Tucker spoke to viewers Thursday night with questions as to what role the FBI may have played in the Capitol riot earlier this year. The case that over 400 individuals who were arrested, no charges stemming from their involvement in the riot. That's weird. Mostly trespassing. I thought it was an insurrection. I thought it was they were terrorists. Mostly trespassing. They're being hit with the courts, and investigators are trying to find links between these suspects. Further on in the piece, it was on Tuesday that Carlson broached the idea that the FBI agents infiltrating far-right groups and empowering extremists were responsible for the instigation of the riot. In response, the internet and mainstream punditry basically freaked out. Carlson noted this on Thursday. Well, there's been an enormous amount of hyperventilating in Washington over a segment we did two nights ago, Carlson began, which we pointed out pretty clearly that there were a number of people in the crowd at the Capitol of January 6th who had been previously in contact with the FBI and who was not, and what was going to happen that day. Some of them may have encouraged others on the scene to commit crimes. It's awful funny how that works out. If that happened, and we believe it did happen, I couldn't agree more. I believe the FBI and CIA have been involved in this for decades. I believe that there's been many, many false flags. I believe a lot of the shootings that we're having, people are being either encouraged to do it by certain levels of our higher government, the deep state, ugly state, whatever state you want to call it. You know, they want to push gun control, and all of a sudden we have crazy amounts of gun crimes. I'm sorry, I just can't buy that. If that happened, and we believe it did happen, it would not be out of character, the FBI said, or for the FBI, he said, Tucker said. They've done things very much like that before. That is beyond dispute. But in this case, they are disputing. Not the FBI directly. They haven't said a word. But the obedient minions of the national security stage who run the social media accounts at the New York Toilet Paper Times and occupy the anchor desk at CNN, they became hysterical when we mentioned it. It's awful funny when the left... when the left-wing news starts freaking out about stuff, just like with the coronavirus, I told everybody when the left-wing news went crazy with it, there was obviously something going on. But we won't shut up, and we shouldn't. It cannot be more obvious that the government is hiding, in fact, is hiding something. Probably quite a few things, he said. So best to abandon theatrics to find out what they're hiding. That's our job. Carlson calmly, rationally, and without vitriol asked for answers to these questions. How many of the so-called insurrectionists on January 6th had a relationship with the FBI? How many of these FBI moles encouraged others that day to break the law at the Capitol? If the Justice Department knew there were going to be protesters massing at the Capitol that day, and it's clear they did know, why didn't they do anything to stop the riot? Why did police at the Capitol allow protesters just to walk in the building, as video shows that they did? Why can't we see the tape for ourselves? The government is hiding more than 14,000 hours of video surveillance, the tape that shows exactly what did happen at the Capitol that day. Why are they hiding that? And why aren't other new organizations demanding to see it? Because left-wing news, they don't care. None of this matters to them. The whole point of that riot was just to make Trump look bad and just to impeach him again. Just like I believe that this virus was released, whether it was intentional or not, I don't know, but I believe it was made in a lab, and I believe it was to destroy the economy of the United States and the world, boosting China, and I believe wholeheartedly that the Dems in office used it. They used it to take all of our rights away. They used it to destroy the president. It worked. It worked between that and them stealing votes, dead people voting, all this craziness at the ballot box. How can you expect that we would ever win? If they have the way, we will never win. If the answer to the first question is none, he said, he and his team would be fine. They would admit that they were wrong, and they would sincerely apologize for it. But if the answer is not none, and we're pretty sure it isn't none, then the people who claim otherwise are liars and hacks, and should leave the public state immediately, because they have betrayed their readers and viewers, he said. I couldn't agree more. The FBI needs to come clean. The CIA needs to come clean. We need to see all that video. We need to see exactly what happened at the Capitol. You know, we've had, Kavanaugh? At the Kavanaugh hearings, you had people coming in, refusing police orders. Why haven't they been charged with this insurrection, trespassing, or property damage? You know, for decades, people have gone into those buildings, and it was never a problem. Why is it all of a sudden a problem? Carlson suggested mainstream media outlets are working to protect the regime at the expense of the public. Please prove us wrong, he implored. I couldn't agree more. If we're wrong, if Tucker Carlson's wrong, then prove us wrong. Show us the evidence that proves it. We will gladly admit that we are wrong. I would love to be wrong. I would love to be able to say that our government is not as terrible as what that. So about that that bill that just passed in Missouri. Looks like the DOJ is not very happy about it. Looks like, according to the Blaze, it's like Chris Field at the Blaze says, he writes, Biden DOJ upset that Missouri made itself a sanctuary from federal gun rules. It says state lacks authority to shield against enforcement of federal laws. Pretty sure they can, but I guess we'll wait to find that out. According to the piece, with the stroke of his pen, Missouri Governor Mike Parsons, man, I love that guy. I'm glad he's my governor. I voted for him, and I'll vote for him again. Made the show-me state a sanctuary from federal gun laws. No longer will Missouri law enforcement officials be allowed to enforce or help feds enforce federal firearm rules, according to the article. But the move is not sitting well with President Joe Biden's Department of Justice, which made its displeasure known in a letter to Parsons this week, telling the governor the state does not have the authority to prevent enforcement of federal law, Associated Press reported. It's kind of funny how they seem to have the authority to do it in sanctuary states with illegal aliens. Seems like they have plenty of authority to do that in those states. They refuse to deport criminals. They refuse to prosecute anyone for just about anything all summer. The riots, the Black Lives Matters, and Antifa terrorists destroying everything. Sure looks like they have the authority to refuse to enforce federal law. It's awful funny. Back to the article. But the move is not sitting well with President Joe Biden's Department of Justice. They made their displeasure known in a letter to Parsons this week, telling the governor that he does not have the authority to prevent the enforcement of federal law, the Associated Press reported. What does the law do? Much like cities and states that have declared they will not enforce federal immigration laws, Missouri has declared it will protect its citizens from what it sees as federal overreach when it comes to gun rights. The Second Amendment Preservation Act prohibits police from enforcing or assisting federal authorities in enforcing federal gun rules. It also allows for anyone who believes his Second Amendment rights were violated by an officer enforcing federal laws to sue the relevant police department for up to $50,000, the Kansas City Star said. When Parsons, a former sheriff, signed the bill into the law, he said he was sending a message to the feds in response to increased federal gun control regulations that are being pushed by the Biden administration. We're going to do things like make sure you don't overreach your authority from the federal government, he said, according to KCUR-FM. In a letter sent Wednesday night, the Associated Press said the Justice Department officials told Missouri's elected leadership that the U.S. Constitution Supremacy Clause supersedes Missouri's law. Oh, no, it don't. No, sir, it does not. The federal government does not have any authority over a state on anything that's not directly mentioned in the Constitution. I've read that somewhere. I believe it was in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. Acting Assistant Attorney General Brian Boynton said in the letter that the new law threatens to disrupt the working relationship between federal and local authorities, the APA reported. So what? We don't need, if the law is unconstitutional, we're not going to follow it, period. And they shouldn't be trying to enforce unconstitutional gun laws. There's no reason for that. The law is very clear. A well-regulated militia, comma, and the people, comma, shall have the right to bear and keep arms, and that shall not be infringed. Those commas are there for a reason. Those commas separate a militia from the general people. The reason why we have the Second Amendment is to protect from tyrannical government's overreach, which is exactly what the federal government's trying to do. Back to the article. The safety of the people of the United States and citizens of Missouri is paramount, Byington wrote. According to the DOJ, Missouri lacks the authority to shield Missourians from federal law to prevent law enforcement from carrying out federal laws. Neither the DOJ letter nor the APA report on the letter bothered to mention that multiple states and local jurisdictions have declared themselves immigration and sanctuary cities and are currently barring law enforcement from enforcing those federal laws. It's funny how that works. Hot airs Ed Morrissey pointed out that both the AP and the DOJ are apparently incapable of understanding the point Parsons was clearly making. That's the context in which the APA misses. APA misses. But it's as plain as the nose on one's face. If Parsons has signed the bill declaring Missouri an immigration sanctuary state, Garland and the DOJ wouldn't have batted an eye about it. And yet, some principles are true. States that ignore and refuse to cooperate with federal immigration law violate the Supremacy Clause and put the public safety at risk, and should risk federal agents and technical assistance on that basis as well. Amusingly, however, the AP never mentions immigration or sanctuary status in its report. That's just not the clear context of Parsons' move. It's also the precedent on which it's based. The Obama-Biden administration did nothing to discourage cities and states from refusing to cooperate with federal law on immigration. Neither Eric Holder nor Loretta Lynch, both criminals, sent scolding reminders about the Supremacy Clause to the leaders of those sanctuary cities and states. The Department of Justice, Morrissey noted, is awful arbitrary about when they choose to get their panties in a twist over the Supremacy Clause. That's pretty funny.